Miss Gloria Swanson, welcome to Shea Kalma and our breakfast table. I want to ask you a lot of questions about Sunset Boulevard, and I hope some of them have not been asked of you before.
Well, thank you. Are you always so formal in the morning?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, at breakfast, we prefer not to be particularly formal.
I'm going to call you Dick. You know, I know a lot more about you than you think I do.
You do?
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, now, how was that?
Well, you had an office over at 501 Madison Avenue, and when you moved out, I moved in, and there was an awful lot of you left in there in the atmosphere and in some of the decor. So I feel I know you.
Well, Gloria...
Don't you think that a home sort of, or an office, you can tell by who it is?
Yes.
To live there, whether it's
yes.
been happy or not.
I hope I didn't leave any sort of a ghost
no,
around
no,
there.
No, you
I'm
didn't.
Not the ghostly type, I don't think.
No, you certainly are not. As a matter of fact, I had quite a nice time there when I was in what you might call the pre-Sunset Boulevard days.
Yes, I know. You were up to your ears in some sort of management or patents.
Patents,
or inventions,
inventions, that's right.
Well, this is a far cry from business and patents and inventions. What we're going to discuss today, your job, your wonderful job. I haven't seen the picture yet. I'm going to be very honest about this, but I have heard so many people telling me about Sunset Boulevard that I feel as though I knew the story backwards and forwards.
Oh, isn't that a pity? I don't think that's too good to tell people too much about it. Do you think so?
I think you have something there.
Then they
That'll
will...
leave a little suspense.
Oh, yes. Well, there's one thing we're keeping a secret, which is a comedy scene, and I'm not even going to just to sort of tease you about it. It's I do two impersonations, one of a man and one of a woman, and the man is especially famous. Now, does that intrigue you?
It certainly does. Can I ask for one little hint more? Just one teeny little
teeny
hint.
One? Let's see.
Are they big people of the past?
Yes, well, one, the girl, represents someone of a group. This sounds like 20 questions, doesn't it?
It does.
Something of a group of people that had to do with my first going to California, or rather, not that I ever was one of them, but they were on the same lot with me, and they also were connected with comedies.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Very much animal. And the man, well, he will be always the greatest pantomimist we've ever known. And we will always think of him in terms of comedy and nothing else.
Well, Gloria, I said that I knew quite a bit about the picture, but there is still one phase of Sunset Boulevard that I have not clear in my mind, and that is it in the past? Is it a flashback?
Oh, no. No, I know what's confusing you.
What
I think a lot of people think of it as a picture of the 20s. It's not a picture, a motion picture, showing us the 20s. You see, the character that I play, Norma Desmond, she lives in the past, and she has never changed her decor. She's never changed the inside of her house. In fact, she's done nothing about the outside, so it's a lot of weeds and things like that, and the gardens are overgrown. But as far as the inside of the house, it's just as it was when she perhaps first was a great star in silent pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is kind of symbolic, Gloria Swanson, you know. While you have changed your raiment, your mode, in a way, you have not changed since I first saw you in a picture, and I won't say how many years ago. You have found the fountain of youth.
Oh, wait a minute now. I have a veil on, which I've got to put up anyway because I'm going to have my delicious tea and a little muffin, I hope.
Certainly.
My breakfast,
all right,
I
so the veil is up, so I still hold to what I said just a moment ago.
Oh, you're so nice, Dick.
I'm not
really
trying.
At this hour in the morning, you're really very nice.
This is part of the Gloria Swanson legend, and it is more than a legend. It is fact. And so I feel that the parallel there is very interesting. Anyway, your decor in your house in the picture,
yes,
is strictly 1921.
Yes, it really is. It has fringe on the lamps. It has Spanish shawls on the piano and on some of the couches. And, of course, it goes in for a lot of clutter, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
There are a lot of bric-a-brac and things like that. And there are possibly 200 or 300 photographs of myself around, which really catch dust. But I must say that when I walked on the set the first day and saw them, some having come from Mr. Cecil DeMille's own collection and some from my own attic, because I'm not inclined to have even a scrapbook of myself around. I was amazed to see some pictures, actually, that I could barely recognize myself. I looked as if I might weigh, 20, 50 pounds more than I actually weigh. I looked like a woman of 40 or 50, and in those days when the picture was made, I couldn't have been more than, 19, 20, 21 or 2.
Well, the hairdos during the vamp era were just something out of your hat, weren't they?
Yes. I think out of awful lot of people's heads with all the hair and the switches and the rats and the buns and the puffs and the whatnots that we used to put on. It was awful. We had enormous heads with all this hair stuff.
I heard about a bed, a fabulous bed, in your bedroom in the picture.
My goodness, you've heard the strangest things, yes. It's a swan-shaped bed. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's supposed to have been Gabby Delis' bed. I'm not sure about that, but it is quite a
very Baroque with cupids and
rods. Yes, a cupid sitting on the end of it, you see, and in the shape of sort of a boat.
I see.
And but these horrible pictures of myself. Well, some of them were fun to look at, and others were really how I ever got into motion pictures. I'll never know, because the older they were, the worse they were.
They were taken, I suppose, when you were making. What was that big DeMille picture you made?
Well, there were, some of them were taken at that time and some before. That was Male and Female, originally the Admirable Crichton. And the DeMille era, of course, was quite fabulous. And it was, I told him one day, not so long ago, that he was very naughty because he made me very extravagant. He was the first person, actually, if you were to wear diamonds, he'd never allow you to wear imitation ones. They had to be real. If you were to wear an ermine wrap, it couldn't be made of bunnies, you know, rabbits. It had to be the real thing. And actually, I think he's the first person who went in for beautiful sets, the kind that didn't fall in on you if you opened and closed a door quickly.
Oh, yes, kind of practical fireplaces and practical doors that really made a booming, hard sound when you closed them. This sounds like the Hollywood David Belasco.
Yes, well, naturally it would be because Mr. DeMille worked for Belasco and was an actor. Oh, you know he's an actor in Sunset Boulevard?
I've heard that he makes a brief appearance.
Oh, he is wonderful. He is a superb actor, really.
What sort of a scene is it?
Well, he plays himself. As a matter of fact, when somebody saw the picture, they wrote in and asked, it was a fan of some kind when they were previewing it, asked who the actor was that was playing Mr. DeMille because they said he was awfully good. He plays himself on the Samson and Delilah set, and I, Norma Desmond, visit him and think that he's going to make another picture with me, and I don't know the tragedy. It isn't so. They only want the car, my automobile, the Asata Fraschini.
I see. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the Asata Fraschini on tomorrow's broadcast. So shall we continue this interview tomorrow for a little while?
Oh, I would like it very much because your tea is so delicious.
All right. We'll come back to it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Gloria, yesterday we were talking about that Isota something or other. I can't pronounce it. I wish you would tell me more about that car. It sounded as though it must have cost $1 million. And where did you find it?
Well, that I really don't know. Asata Fraschini or Asata Fraschini. Now, there were two pronunciations I had. I made both those in the picture, and then they took their choice later on because there was some argument very late one night on location in the garden, and it wasn't too warm, and there was some question as to whether I was pronouncing it properly, so we did it both ways. And the same thing applies to Salome and Salome in the picture. I have an idea as the character of Norma Desmond that I want very much to play Salome, as we finally decided it should be called in the picture.
You have a yen for the head of John the Baptist.
That's right. And going back to the automobile, I have no idea where they found this truck, really. Rolls Royces are awfully heavy now.
Was this block long?
Yes, it was a block long and very heavy and was very difficult to drive.
Did you have to drive it yourself?
No, I didn't. The chauffeur or anyone found it difficult. And actually, I had some difficulty getting into it because it's so high up off the ground. So unlike anything we use now.
Now, this, of course, is in the same character as the house, a part
That's
of
right.
your past that you didn't want to abandon.
That's right. Norma Desmond, the woman I play, is quite an extraordinary character. As a matter of fact, Dick, She's the greatest part I've ever had, and that includes a lot of great parts, like the first talking picture I made of, well, of The Trespasser, Sadie Thompson and Zaza and the woman in Male and Female and...
Gloria, may I interrupt you there?
Yes.
Was yours the first Sadie movie, Sadie Thompson?
Yes.
That's very interesting because it's made, been made so many times since then, hasn't it?
Yes, and well, this sounds strange, but I enjoyed making it very much. I don't mean that strange, but actually, I think perhaps in a movie it's better silent than in talking pictures. They had to change the dialogue so completely from the stage play.
They sure did.
That something happens to it. It gets lost.
Mm-hmm. The version, I remember one or two of them, Joan Crawford, I think, did
well,
it.
Well, she made the talking picture. And you see, when you have to soften the dialogue, you lose the impact, even your acting goes. That brings up a very interesting point, and that is that a lot of people had an idea that when we did silent pictures, we didn't have any titles or any dialogue, that we were deaf mutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's impossible to make love to a person and be saying, would you have a cup of tea instead of I love you? Now, if you say I love you, that you're going to have a different expression on your face than if you say, would you have a cup of tea?
Certainly.
At least you should have. Therefore, we always spoke dialogue. We always had dialogue to learn. Now, in the motion picture, however, of Sadie Thompson, while I kept pretty much to the text of the play, I had violent dialogue, but in the middle of my dialogue, it was softened by a title, you see, because obviously, for censor reasons, we couldn't use the complete dialogue of Sadie Thompson, which was the play.
Even in a silent version?
No.
For fear that someone would read your lips, you mean, and be...
That's correct, especially in the middle of the title. At both ends, it didn't matter, because
mm-hmm.
the middle of the title was always on the cutting room floor.
Yes.
You see. But it was important what you said to begin a scene and what you said at the end of a scene. And
sure.
what you said in the middle was pretty much out of the play, because that gave me it gave me an emotion that I couldn't have if I were saying a very different kind of mood that the title had.
Sure.
That sounds complicated, and perhaps we'd better drop that.
No,
because
no.
Without
I
using my hands to explain
yes,
it.
Yes, we should be on television for
yes.
this. Well, Gloria, there are a lot of questions I had in mind to ask about the leopard skin upholstery and that Ischata Fraschini thing and all the stuff that they put in Schwab's drugstore. In that set, did they put...
We actually used the drugstore. We went there nights and shot indoors, you know. It was not taken from to the studio, actually.
Oh, you shot inside Schwab's
yes.
drugstore? I thought it was only outside. And then they had the set of Schwab's drugstore.
No, I was I saw them doing this. The scene that Holden has, Bill Holden with Nancy Olson, that's the young love story, you know, is silhouetted against the background of Hollywood and the story of this famous actress. No, they played a scene right there, right in the drugstore itself.
That's wonderful. I would like to ask you, before we leave this fascinating interview, for me...
And for me, thank you, Dick.
Thank you. Mutual admiration
oh,
society.
Okay.
Well, when a couple of actors get together, Gloria, this must be accepted by the audience. I don't... But I do want to ask you this, guys. I think it would certainly... be in the minds of lots of our listeners. You've been in a position to observe Hollywood over, well, a quarter of a century.
Yes, since 1916.
And you saw it in the silent days.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the way Hollywood conducted itself then, when it was really a babe in arms and going through all the pains of childhood. And you have seen it during the interim, and you've seen it now that you've made Sunset Boulevard. And, of course, during many, many trips you made there, even when you weren't going out to make a picture. What do you think about the Hollywood of today? And I'm not asking for any deep scientific...
No, I know what you mean. Well, Dick, may I say this, that Hollywood is no different from any other community. In the 20s, when they were gay and everybody had a certain amount of freedom, and if I may say so, taxes were very light, if we had any at all, they had a gaiety, just as everybody else. The whole world was having fun, if you will recall. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you were too young mm-hmm. to know that.
During Prohibition,
it affected everyone. When the Depression came, it hit Hollywood just as well as it did everyone else. So that as we go through one period or another that the world may be going through, it affects Hollywood. It doesn't stand alone and by itself with a great huge wall around it. And I've seen, of course, a business. Now, if you want to talk about an industry, I've seen it grow from youngsters who were playing practical jokes on each other and gave them, if they found each other in a nightclub or a restaurant, they played pranks and they also might even get up and entertain the public present. Mm-hmm. Well, it's now grown out of a kind of childhood adolescence into a very adult business, and it's not just a business, it's an industry now, and with it goes many responsibilities. And so therefore the characters, the actors, the writers, directors, and so on, all grow with it. They don't stand alone.
You find more of them kind of studying art and collecting rare
yes.
coins and...
You see, it has...
Going to symphony concerts, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, but I would say that you had those before. They were not just people picked up out of the little alleys of the world. They were people who had... Some had backgrounds. We'll take Milton Sills. He was a professor of English when he came there. Well, that was 1921. He was my leading man. He was an actor, a star. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't entirely all that
frivolity.
Way. No, and frivolity and people who had no appreciation of the better things of life. It was a great combination of everything, a kind of melting pot, and out of it has come a kind of serious business where everybody has to think seriously. It's a very precarious... career in any case, acting, I think.
It certainly is. Well, Gloria Swanson, it's been most fun having you here with us at breakfast, and it's been quite a revelation to get your ideas on the subject of Hollywood, and been fascinating to get these statistics and angles on Sunset Boulevard. I certainly intend to see it just as soon as I can.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope maybe one day you'll breakfast with
and
me.
I'd love to, and the best of luck on your big tour. How many cities are you going to?
Oh, don't say it, shall I say it? 28 cities I expect to touch in the United States. It's what you call seeing America first,
I think. The Grand Tour.
Yes, the Grand Tour is
well,
right.
Well, bon voyage, and hope to see you soon after you get back.
Wish me a lot of strength, please.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Gloria.
Goodbye.